one of the most enjoyable and interesting things about God is that he's always working with his left hand. He's always working where you can see, and there's things going on that you can see. But God's always working with his left hand around the corner there where you can't see. And it's always interesting to see what he does and what he's involved in. Sister Tatiana, I had an interesting conversation this week. I was ordering a gift basket for someone, and I've used this vendor for a long time. And actually, when I first met her, I went into her home, and her shop was in the back of her home. And immediately, I began to work something besides just a basket. I began to try to get a Bible study with her. Can't imagine that. And found out that she's from Ramallah. She and her husband are Palestinian. And her name is Samia. And so after about 2 years, I finally got into the house. And I had about 5 studies with them. And they got so involved and so excited about the things of God, they went and joined another church. And then they didn't have time for the Bible study anymore. And they gave me the boot. It was friendly, but it was still a boot. And so I'll call them and we'll chat about biblical things and prophetic things, and she'll have a question or whatever. And that's been going on for a couple of years. This last week I talked to her and she said, Oh, Barry, we have some friends in common. I said, really? She said, yes. She said, these boys have been coming to my house for about a year. And they are friends of my boys, and they play games, and she said, they're wonderful boys. She said, their names are Alex and Sim. I said, really? I said, do you know their mom and dad? And she said, well, I guess we've talked or whatever. But I have an assignment for you. On God's left hand, I want you to get to know Alex and Sim's friend's mom. And see if maybe they would be open to have a Bible study in their house. Because I still feel like, even though they gave me the boot, it's the will of God for them to have a Bible study. I mean the full treatment. The whole thing. So just see how that feels to you in the Holy Ghost. Wife's name is Samia, husband's name is Mike, and your boys will know they're boys. Oh, they're good boys, by the way. But you know, God does some interesting things, doesn't he? And for those of you who may not be familiar with the moving of God, you may just think serendipity at work or coincidence. But I've been around too long. And I see the signature of God on things that are really exciting and interesting to me. And God's always moving and he's always working. And don't you believe for a moment that he's not working for your good, that he's working for your house, he's working for your family, he's working out a destiny for you, he's making a way for you. And all you have to do is enjoy it and participate. Push your neighbor a little bit and say, you need to enjoy it. And you need to participate. When God's working on you, don't get an attitude. When God's dealing with you, don't get an attitude. Because you would rather go right and he wants you to go left. Don't get an attitude, because I'll guarantee you, left will get you where you want to go, and it's going to be a better journey. Just say yes to God. Well, praise God. I'm more excited right now about the things of God than I've ever been. And the Iranians are trying to provoke a war. Isn't that exciting? Loose the nukes. Well, you're not nearly as excited about that as you might be. This morning we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 12. We're making our way through the prophet Isaiah on our way through the Old Testament, and we're taking our time. This book of wonderful prophecy, comprehensive prophecy, and book of tremendous judgment, but tremendous promise. Wherever you find the judgment of God, you always find the promise of God also. And you want to major in the promises of God. Isaiah chapter 12, and we'll do the whole chapter. It's only six verses. Would you say, and in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now tell your neighbor, that is probably better translated Yahweh. And in some versions it's simply, the Lord, my Lord, is my strength and my song. Jehovah is not really a good translation or a good transliteration. It's something the King James scribes felt like they could work, but it doesn't work very well with the original Hebrew, but it's not a hill you want to die on. I just thought I would mention it to you while we're going through. The actual word is a word without vowels, so it's unpronounceable, unspeakable. And it probably, if it were to be written, to be spoken, it would be Yahweh, because the consonants are YHWH. Now you've forgotten everything that you've read. But verse 3, would you say, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. And this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Why don't you free up your hands and your voice and give him high praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God. We lift you up, O God, and thank you for your word. For your truth, for the privilege of handling it in the house today, we give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor. We magnify your name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, this is a relief in the midst of a prophetic book that is filled with judgment. This is a little glimpse at after the judgment. This is a little glimpse of after the discipline. After the dust has settled, after God has done his work in your life, the admonishment here is, when you come to yourself and you have come out of the pig pen, when you come to yourself and you're tired of making your way through the world, then in that day, everybody say in that day. And then these six verses become a tutorial on how to behave and what you should do and what you should say after you've come out, after you've been delivered, after you've been brought out of Egypt, after you've come out of the hog pen, after you've come out of backsliding. Wherever you've been that wasn't the will of God, when that's all over with, or if God has come down on you like a hammer because of your behavior or your resistance or your rebellion or your pursuit of things that were not like God, then after that is done, and I'm so glad there's a day after. I'm so glad there's a, listen, when you're dealing with God, God's hand is always extended in mercy while he's doling out the punishment or the discipline upon your life. Because God is a good father that loves you and works to your good. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Somebody ought to thank God for that. Praise God. So when you're ready to turn around and you're ready to come out, this then becomes a tutorial for you. And in that day you shall say, and Isaiah by prophecy then begins to tell you, this is what you do. This is a remedial course in how to stay right once you get right. This is a refresher course in how to stay strong after you come out. This is the wisdom of God for you about how you need to exercise your position, newfound position in the kingdom of God, so that you don't go back and so that you don't turn around and so that the old things don't ascend in your life anymore. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. I don't want to go back. I came out of Egypt and I came out to stay out. I don't want to go back. I came out of the world and I don't have any intention of going back. I've come to stay. I didn't come to the church just to get my bobos healed and then go on my way. I didn't come to the church just to see what God could do for me, but I came to stay. If you want to stay and be strong in the things of God, this is an excellent remedial course, a tutorial for all of us. Well, praise God. Praise God. And so that's what we get here. This is reflective of the 11th chapter that has mention of the millennial kingdom and the end of our dispensation. And we've talked about that in the last couple of services, about the prophetic days of the time of the Gentiles and how that's coming to an end. And after that, then the Abraham's seed will be established in Jerusalem. The Messiah and the Messianic kingdom, or the millennial age, will be ushered in, and then eternity. But this is after that. And so this is specific to Israel, but it's also applicable to anybody who's coming into the covenant of God out of the world, or coming into the covenant of God out of Egypt, or someone who is standing in the presence of God with a heart to do business with God in a covenant relationship. This is a wonderful, wonderful tutorial for how to stay strong and to optimize or actualize there in that relationship with God. Praise God. Verse 1, in that day you shall say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Everybody clap your hands and just say, praise God. I mean, from the depth of your heart, just say, praise God. And while you're doing that, I want you to think about where you've been and what you did and what he saved you from and where he brought you from and what he brought you out of and what he kept you from and where you might be if you were not in the grace of God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I will praise you because you were angry with me, but now your anger is turned away. We're in verse 1 of chapter 12. Your anger is turned away, and now you comfort me. So now the judgment's turned away. My name was written on the book of hell, but now it's written in the Lamb's book of life. My destiny was an eternity in hell, but now my destiny is eternity with God. And you can go on and on with that. And so now I've got a praise in my heart. God was angry with me, but now the anger is past, and now he's comforting me. Praise God. Now that's something to shout about. That's just something to go ahead and have a Holy Ghost fit about. I want to go to the heart of this passage today, which is verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. How do you get the most out of your salvation experience? How do you sustain yourself in your salvation experience? How do you continue to walk with God in the middle of your salvation experience? Somebody say, with joy. With joy. It doesn't mean that necessarily you're just going to be happy all the time while you're walking in salvation. It means with joy, you're going to draw forth from that well of salvation. So that tells you can't draw from God's well with depression. And you can't draw from the well of God with the mully grubs and with murmuring and with complaining and with bitterness and with sadness and with rebellion. None of those buckets will get for you the sweet nectar of what God has in this salvation experience. The only thing you can use to get what you need from God's salvation is a bucket called joy. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give your neighbor a high five and say joy. Unspeakable joy. Joy when I think about what he's done for me. Joy when I think about. Well, praise God. Now, I want to suggest to you something today. Everything that is non-biblical out there in the world of quasi-pseudo non-biblical Christianity, every bit of it has a seedbed in the doctrine of demons, meant to ruin the possibility of your ever engaging God in true salvation. Whether it's their view of the deity or their attitude about how you enter into salvation. But pertinent to what we're dealing with today, across the board and for a long, long time, there's been this attitude of when you come into the presence of God, you sit down and shut up and hold on. Don't clap your hands. Don't lift your hands. My God, don't even think about dancing. And shouting is that excessive emotional exuberance you find in those cults. Yeah. But Nehemiah will say, and we'll read the passage in a moment, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't do this without joy. And if the devil steals your joy, the devil has stolen your salvation. I said if he steals your joy, he's going to take your soul. You won't last without joy. You can't do this mad. You can't do this angry. You can't do this hurt. You can't do this offended. That's why the altar becomes the place where I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I've got to lay all that down. Everything that competes for a place in my heart with my joy, it's got to go. Bitterness, that's why you can't have bitterness. That's why you can't keep the grudge. That's why you can't walk in unforgiveness. That's why you got to keep the mercy spout wide open. That's why you got to let it flow, the reciprocal principle of the kingdom of God, because there's no room in there for anything but joy. Praise God. Joy is not circumstantial. But we're going to get a biblical definition for joy today. Praise God. He said, in that day you'll say, I will praise you. At the point of deliverance, you need to praise God. We find them coming out of Egypt, and Miriam takes up a tambourine, and all of them on the banks of the Red Sea, they begin to sing the song. The horse and the rider are cast into the sea, and they have a celebration on the banks of the Red Sea, and you need to have a celebration there. When God brings you out and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you go down in the water in Jesus' name, you say, well, is that connected with the Exodus? Paul says that it is. Paul said they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. These things were all done for our examples. And so they were an Old Testament type of your being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost. And after that's accomplished in your life, you need to have a celebration because you come out of Egypt. Now, I've got a minute or two here. If you've come out of Egypt and you've not had a celebration yet, Or if you've come out of Egypt and you haven't had a celebration in a little while, why don't you go ahead and just have a little celebration about having come out of Egypt? Go help me. Go help me. Some of you still look like you lost your dog. No, I said a celebration. It starts with a smile. You might want to clap your hands. Somebody ought to dance about it. Somebody ought to shout about it. See, the New Testament and the kingdom of God is not like a funeral. We already had the funeral. It only lasted 3 days. And then the guest of honor kicked the door off of death and hell and the grave. This is not a funeral. This is a celebration. Get your head up. Somebody shout, I will praise thee. Now, who's going to praise him? Who's going to praise him? Yeah, the response is, I will, I will, I will. By cognition and by choice and by the exercise of will, I will stand on my feet. I'll be counted among God's people. I'll be a voice when there's not another voice. I'll make noise when people don't like me to make noise. I'll clap my hands because the Bible said clap my hands. I'll sing and shout. I will praise thee. Well, praise God. Praise God. Somebody say the anger's turned away. You ought to shout about that. Somebody say he's brought me salvation. You ought to shout about that. Somebody say, now he's comforting me. My God, if God's been your comfort, you ought to shout about that. Well, praise God. Praise God. Psalms 20 and 7, some trust in chariots and horses. But what are you going to remember? Don't get in Rachel's way. Because one day, I'm just telling you, watch out for these quiet people. Because one day, it's all going to hit at once. Praise God. Verse 2. Say, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Shake your neighbor and tell him God's got it all in control. I'm not afraid. I tell somebody I may not understand, but I'm not worried. Because God's never failed. And he's got it all in his power. Come on, tell somebody he's got the whole world in his hands. God can make it turn around and come back the way it ought to be. God can hang the devil on his own gallows. God can give you a brand new tomorrow. God can. Do you believe that? Somebody say, my God's able. Give somebody a high five and say, my God can. Now you believe that? Somebody say, for the Lord is my strength and my song. And he's become my salvation. In the 40th Psalm, David said, I called unto the Lord. I cried unto him. And he heard my cry. And he lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock. and he established my goings. Now that is salvation. Has God done that for anybody here? Are you glad you're not in the pit anymore? Are you glad? Now, in case you hadn't gotten this yet, this is where we're going. I know you got bills, but this has to be bigger than your bills. I know you got family trouble, but this has got to be bigger than your family trouble. I know you may have a little trouble in your body, but this has got to be bigger than all of that, or it won't work for you at all. If the natural overshadows the spiritual in your life, you're done. If the natural takes away your joy of what God has done, you're finished. You got to get your joy back. I said you got to get your joy back. You can't do this without joy. I'm not diminishing your personal pain or your struggles or your trouble. You've just got to get the chart out again and realign your priorities. Yeah, I've got some pain. Yeah, I've got some trouble. But the preeminent thing in my life is the name of Jesus and the power of God and this Holy Ghost. And I'm bound to have a celebration. Every day of your life, you walk in the Holy Ghost with your lip dragging the top of your shoes. You're saying this circumstance is bigger than my God. You're saying this trouble is bigger than the promise of the Word of God. No, I'm not going to feed your victim monster. I'm not going to come up and say, oh, poor baby, you deserve a blessing. You don't deserve nothing. You, just like I, you deserve to go to hell. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side... Let's start there. Entitlements are a creation of the devil. Because you're not entitled to anything. Well, praise God. I'm not fooling with your political agenda. You go on with yourself. Follow after foolishness if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, in the kingdom of God, God's already made everything available. Now go get it. God's already prepared everything. Now you go ahead and get it. God's already whipped the devil, paid for your sin, created salvation for you. Now go ahead and have as much of it as you want. Well, how do I get it? You get it with joy. How do I optimize it? With the joy of God. How do I get it into my life with a bucket called joy. That's how you get it in your life. Praise God. Praise God. We're still in verse 2. God's my salvation. Money's not my salvation. Some folks have that all backwards. Your dollar says, in God we trust. But that's not what you feel like. You're feeling real squirrely if you don't have the money. And you can come in the house of God and be all conflicted because of the financial pressure. And I'm not diminishing your problem, but I'm telling you, your answer is in God. You got to get on the right side of this joy thing, or God can't do you any good. Because, oh God, I'm in trouble, is not optimizing the salvation experience. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is evidence. Faith is substance. And God is a God who deals in the commerce of faith. Praise God. God's my strength and my song. And he's become my salvation. Okay. Then David says, after he's picked me up out of the pit, he says, and he's put a new song in my heart. Shake your neighbor and say, and sing it to him. I've got a new song in my heart. You don't have to sing good, just sing. You don't have to dance good, just dance. Tell somebody, I don't sing the old song no more. I don't sing the blues anymore. I don't sing that old country western. I lost everything down at the at Velma's Lounge. I don't sing that anymore. But God's given me a new song. I don't sing it and I don't listen to it either. If you're not going to sing those, if you're not going to sing that old worldly song, you don't need to be listening to that old worldly song. I said apostolic people don't listen to old filthy worldly music. It's a communicator of values, and they're not God's values. Where was I? New song. David said he'd given me a new song. And the new song is even praise unto our God. God's given me a new song and it's praise unto my God. So now I sing the song of praise. So what I want you to do right now is just freelance a little bit. Make up a little song. Sing a song to God and praise Him. Go ahead. We got a little time here. I want you to do that right now. Now give them a little something jumpy there. Don't give them funeral yet. No. Some of you are like, oh, shucks. No, you got to do this. You got to be able to sing a song unto God. That's real good. Come on, sing a song. How many of you already composed it? You've already sung it to it. Oh, sister. Some of you I don't want to hear, but I want to hear, Sister Bonnie.
He gives me joy, 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 joy. He gives me joy, 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 joy. Joy in my hands, joy in my feet, joy in my soul. Yeah, come on and say it. He gives me joy, 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 joy.
That would be Gozo. How would you say that? El me da Gozo. What's the sentence though? El me da felicidad. So.
El me da felicidad en mi corazón.
That's really pretty good. He said he gives me joy in my heart. He gives me joy in my soul. He gives me joy in my heart. That's my cortisol. He gives me heart, a joy in my soul. That's my alma. Now, I want some of you to step off into the deep, and I want you to sing in tongues, which should be a lot easier. You need to do that right now. Go ahead and begin. Paul said, I will sing in my understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit. Okay, how is that? Now, if I've messed with your theology, I don't mean to tug on your security blanket. Just come see me after. But all of this swings on the hinge of will. Talking in tongues is not something God does to you. Paul said, what is it then? I will pray in my understanding, and I will. Everybody say will. I will pray in the Spirit. That means you talk in tongues when you're ready to talk in tongues. Say, I will sing in the Spirit. That means you sing when you're ready to sing in the Spirit. Well, praise God. He's my song and he's my salvation. Therefore, because God's done all that, because God's been so good, because God brought me out, because he's established my goings, because he took away my debt, because he paid all that I owed that I never could have paid, then with joy, I'm going to draw forth from this well of salvation. I'll just tell you right now, God's been too good to me for me to turn back. God's done too much for me to say no. God's done too much for me to walk around. I have to be real careful with what I do here. And I picked on Brother Scales 3 weeks in a row. But, Brother Monty, you come in the house, and she's sitting like this, and she's got her mouth all turned down to the corners, which for some of us, that's relaxed. I have to grimace to smile, but if she looks sad and forlorn, I mean, this is your house. This is your wife. You took a vow, and the vow was you're going to keep her and bless her in all conditions. And she's not happy, and she's not content, and you see it on her face. How does that make you feel? Not good. That makes me feel not good. And so I want to know, what's the problem? Because I'm paying all the bills. Put a roof over her head. I don't beat her with the chain anymore. I just rattle it. No, I'm faithful to the word of God. Treat her like a queen. Love her all I can. And it just makes you feel so bad. How do you think your Heavenly Father feels when you come in this house with your lip down on the top of your shoe because you need money? Because you got a catch in your sacroiliac? Because somebody said something mean about you? Because somebody kicked your kid? Because. But none of that changes. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the mighty God and the answer to every question and the solution to every problem. And how do I engage God for the remedy for my problem? I do it with joy. My God, give somebody a high five and say, you will not steal my joy. Somebody tell it to the devil right now. My joy is not for sale. You can't have it. I'm glad God saved me. God's kept me. God gave me the Holy Ghost. God filled me with the power. God took all my sins away. Well, praise God. So with joy, I draw from the wells of salvation. I thought we'd be done by now, but we're really just getting started. Praise God. You want this to be a cultural thing. You want it to be in your family and your personal culture. So when you greet people, shake somebody's hand and say, praise the Lord. But have you noticed when you meet God's people out at Walmart, they'll say, praise the Lord. If that makes you uncomfortable, you need to get over on the winning side of this thing. It needs to be in your culture. Praise God. Out on the job, full of battled, hardened, tough men. You need to walk up in the middle of those men who are cussing and spitting and say, praise the Lord, fellas. Because my regard for God is more than my regard for them. And I think praise the Lord is a splendid greeting. Because it just gives me a brand new way to use this. Another occasion to say this. I said I'm looking for an occasion to say praise the Lord. I want it to be in my personal culture. I want it to be a way of life. You got to get this. It's got to be a way of life. You've got to make the impression so deep that nothing can change it. I'm telling you, this will take you down to the graveyard. This will go with you in those wee hours of the morning in a hospital visit. This will take you through the wars of life, personal wars, financial wars. But in the middle of it, you need to be able to say, but in the middle of it all, I'm going to give God praise. In the middle of it all, I'm going to trust Him. I've given Him my life, and I'm in the palm of His hand. And do you believe that God is able? Somebody stand in the middle of your trouble right now and shout, God is able. Somebody say, God's going to take care of it. Come on, do you really believe that? Go ahead, clap your hands and lift up your voice about it. This is a workshop in praise. This is a workshop in right biblical theology or philosophy for life. Because even a wild-eyed apostolic church can settle down and in the durative be worn down by the constant pressure of life. The job, the house, the bills, the family, the trouble, just life. Elder Corey said, old age is a dirty joke. It's a dirty trick. Elder Corey was right. Old age is a dirty trick. Because you wake up some morning, Sister Bonnie, and your knees want to go south, and the rest of you are trying to go north. It's a dirty trick. And as I see the decline of my body, come on, all of you boomers need to hear this morning. You babies don't even worry about it. Go somewhere else in your mind right now if you want. Don't even worry about it. But that body of yours is going to, if God tarries, it's going to go back to dust. It's falling apart right now. When I pull up Fox News, they've got some gal on there right now that ages in about 5 seconds. From 20 to 60, they go, and she's just... It was all straight and fine and all just perfect there for a minute. And then it gives you the years in rapid flow. And she goes from granddaughter to grandma in about 5 seconds. You're not going to... You buy all that cream and junk you want. And you can be a victim for every shyster and every marketer out there. But enjoy it. Use it while you've got it. Be a blessing to everybody around you and to the kingdom of God. If God tarries, that thing's going to fall apart. And those joints are going to start to creak. And that leather is going to start looking like leather. And those long, wavy locks. That's inevitable. But that's just the outside. And that's just the package. And it'll wear out. But God's going to give you a new body. My God, deliver us from a moment's time of being depressed over the aging of your body. Let that gray hair, let it be a banner. Let it shine, my God. When you smile, let it hit your eyes. I don't want to smile too big because it causes wrinkles. Go ahead and smile way up here. You might as well use that because it's going to wrinkle up and fall away anyway. It goes back to the dust. Praise God. What do you value? Where are your premiums? Where are your values? God's bigger. We get a new body. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I get a brand new body. I'm going to wear this one out for God. I'm going to clap my hands till the veins burst. I'm going to shout till I'm flat-footed. I'm going to shout with my voice till I wear it out. I'm going to dance until my knees are gone. My God. Because it's with joy. Now, we're about to stop here, and I guess we'll have to continue the workshop tonight. But joy, like faith, is not what you feel. Joy, faith is what you do. Love is what you do. And I'm going to demonstrate to you biblically that joy and rejoicing are what you do. And it's completely dependent upon will. Let's do one more verse to nail that down, and then we'll go. Are you okay? Have you repented over being depressed? Have you repented over being mad and bitter and angry and holding grudges? And you need to do that before you leave here today. Clear your heart. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we'll work here for just a minute, and then we'll go. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to begin in verse 8. Now, this is the regathering of Israel from Judah from their captivity in Babylon. And they come back under the authority of Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel, and they will eventually rebuild the walls and the temple. And they will reclaim the land of Abraham. But it's been a long time since they've heard the word of God. And it's not like it was in the days of Solomon. You go from absolute perfection, marble and gold and glitter and beauty and power and riches, to a little handful of remnants. And they're literally digging the walls up out of the burned, charred ruins. And as they do, Ezra comes and begins to read the law to them. And they find out that they're not only in trouble in the physical, but they're in trouble spiritually because they're out of touch with the word of God. And so in verse 7, you get a roster of all the people that are passing the word along in the crowd. They didn't have a PA system, so they set people out through the crowd, and this guy would hear it, and he would repeat it to that guy, and they would just shout it on out to the people. Or that's the impression I get here. They made, verse 7, they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, or the leader of the people, the governor of the people, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Now, I want you to say that concerning your day. This day is holy unto the Lord my God. The psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How can you do that at the beginning of the day? How can you do that without knowing what's coming in the mailbox or not coming in the mailbox? How can you say this? I can understand at 11:59. How you could say, well, this has been a good day, I'm going to rejoice. But how can you say at 6 in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad. Now, do you get what I'm saying? The psalmist who knows God and is a man after God's own heart, and a yardstick by which God will judge every king that will be after him in Judah, And he says, this is God's day and it's holy. And this is a corollary to what Nehemiah is telling the people at the rebuilding. This is a holy day unto God. I will rejoice and be glad. Now, you kind of have a sense in the English that rejoicing is an action or a verb, something you do. But he says, I will be glad. And you thought glad was circumstantial. Or you thought glad was something mercurial that is with you one moment and gone the next. Or comes because of favor with people or money in your pocket or achievement or some positive thing, some component outside your life. But the Word of God declares that it's not. The Word of God declares that it is a function of will. Rejoicing, joy, and this thing the psalmist calls glad is a function of will. I will be glad. Praise God. All right, everybody say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Now, a lot of you have been rejoicing. But now look at somebody and say, and I will be glad. And flash them your best million-dollar smile. We're going to work on that. We need to work on that. How many of you understand what you've just heard? It's a function of will. So Nehemiah, in verse 9, this day's holy to the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They saw how backward they were. They saw how far they had to go. They saw how much they had lost. They were troubled. And there were a lot of enemies there about the rebuilding. And there were all kind of complications and troubles. But he said, don't be sad. Don't mourn. And don't weep. You're standing in a holy day made by God. The fulfillment of the Word of God is all around you. And so here's his admonition. Go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. And what he's doing is saying, I want you to focus on those things that are good. Now, right now, I want you to open up the hymnal of your life. And I want you to tear a page out of that hymnal. And the name of that song on that page is Count Your Troubles. Name them one by one. Count your many troubles. See what the devil has done. That's not a song for the people of God to sing. And in its place, I want you to put in a new song. And the new song is, are you doing this with me? Are you doing this workshop? Have you opened up the songbook of your life? Are you tearing one out and putting a new one in? The new song is, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Count your I don't want to hear what's wrong. I want you to tell me what's good. I don't want to hear the problem. I want you to tell me what's good. Can you sing that song? Right now, lift up your hands and begin to give God thanks for the good things. I want you to enumerate all the good things in your life right now. Some of you are choking on something you lost. Some of you are choking on something that's not turned out just right. Something that is working against your life or your home or your family. But I want you to, if you'll open up your eye and not be myopic concerning the negative, just begin to enumerate the good right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've got health in my body. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sitting in the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the name of God on my life. My God, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Shake your neighbor and say, eat the fat. Drink the sweet. We had a ladies' meeting this past Tuesday morning, and they advertised it was going to be a cooking class, low fat, low sweet, or low sugar. And they had about half as many people as they normally have. People like to eat the fat. what makes a killer cookie. It's got a whole tablespoon of Crisco in that thing. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them for which nothing is prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. And everyone say, neither be you sorry. I need some help here. Go on down to 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Lay your hand on your neighbor, look in their eyes and say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And tell them joy is a function of will. If you'll quit enumerating the negative. Come on, are you talking to your friend? Are you talking to... If you'll quit enumerating the negative and start focusing on all the good, immediately you'll sense a shift in your spirit. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I want to open this altar up. I want you to come down to the altar. Somebody needs to repent over sadness and forlornness and misery and depression, my God. If you come first, stand on those steps and make room. Somebody's got a bitter heart. You need to come repent over it. You can't have joy. Come on. Commitment to God. I'm gonna rejoice. I'm gonna be glad. Wait, stop. Now, somebody's praying. You go ahead and pray. But I need more smiles than I have. I wish I had a camera. You need to look at yourself. They're singing, this joy that I have. You're not selling that to anybody. My God, nobody wants to come do what you're doing with that face. Joy. No, the world can't take it away. I got joy. Somebody say this joy. Praise God. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, please spare me all the exceptions. Please spare me all the exceptions. But what about if you're in grievous pain in your body? Well, I understand. But you better be careful about swapping stories. You want to sell me a sad story, I'll tell you about Granny on her deathbed asking for her joke book. And making jokes on her deathbed. She said, faith without works is dead and I ain't working. Is that the truth? Who visited her? Is that the truth? Did she keep her joy all the way down to the end? She is ready to go. Joy will take you from this place to the one you're going to. And every stop in between. We'll work on this again tonight. God bless you. So glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Before you go, Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. God bless you.